Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're going to pick up in a two-part. We began last time. We looked in Deuteronomy chapter 6 through verses 1 through 15. Amen. And we're going to continue on, but let's look at verse number 1 just to begin. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your word this morning, the good old King James Bible. We thank you how you preserved your inspired, infallible, indestructible word in the King James Bible. Father, now I just pray that you bless our time together. Give me only those things that you'd have me to teach and to preach this morning, Father. Encourage us, lift us up. Give us something this morning that'll help us to grow as Christians, that'll bless our souls. Father, I'm a sinful man. I live in sinful flesh. But I just pray that you'd remove me from the flesh during this time. Fill me with thy spirit, Father, so that we can hear from thee. Help me to be an obedient servant to whatever you choose to do this day. And now we ask it, as always, in your son, the Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, kindly be seated. Last time we began to look at our passage, we looked at verses 1 through 15. I read through them. I didn't want to read through them again. And we want to make some spiritual applications to the Christian today. As I brought out last time, the passage that we're looking at in Deuteronomy, of course, doctrinally applies to the children of Israel under the Old Testament law. But I believe as we go through this, we can make a spiritual application, amen, and to see some things that will help us as Christians today to live better for the Lord. I broke down our passage into four areas. Number one, we have some instructions in verses 1 through 9, and that's where I began. I only actually covered verse number 1 last time, and hopefully we'll make more progress this time. But we see in verses 1 through 9 instructions. Instructions concerning God, God gives concerning His Word. And then we see the production or the result in verses 10 to 11, the production or the results of following God's instructions concerning His words. And then we see area number 3 in verses 12 to 14, more instructions concerning how to live, which also includes a warning, how to live for God, which also includes a warning. And then finally, the fourth area in verse 15 is the destruction, the result of not following the instructions concerning God's words and how to live for Him. Last time in verse number 1, we saw God has given us His Word. We see His Word today. We have His full written Word, full written revelation for you and I today in the books of Genesis through Revelation. 66 books. 66 inspired books, inspired by God, breathed books contained in one book, the Holy Bible. And of course, the Word of God for us today, God has promised to preserve His Word, and He has, and He's preserved it in the Authorized Version, 1611, King James Bible. Amen. But we saw last time that not only has God given us His Word, but He has given the local New Testament church the pastor. And we saw that the pastor, beyond a shadow of doubt, according to what the Scriptures say, the pastor is to be a man. And we saw that one of his main responsibility is to teach the people that God has put him over in the New Testament local church, is to teach them, to show the believer through the Word of God, to guide them in how he or she should live for God. Amen. Now, what we want to do this morning is pick up in verse number 2 of Deuteronomy number 6. Verse number 2, look at what it says. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Another purpose the pastor is to teach the people the Word of God is so by reading the Word of God, they will fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. You know, they'll fear what the Lord can do to them. You know, some will say that fear of the Lord is reverence for the Lord. I believe, yes, we should have reverence. But this fear of the Lord is just good old common fear, amen. You see how powerful God is as you read the Bible. You see his judgments that can be poured out upon you if you're disobedient to him. The scriptures have a lot to say as we go through the word of God, have a lot to say about the fear of God. For example, over in Job chapter 28 and verse 28, it says, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. It didn't say going to Harvard University and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of getting a Harvard University or Ivy League college is wisdom, but it says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Yes, it's that simple. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Over in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you and I want knowledge, amen, then we need to fear God. We need to fear God. Again, we don't need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars being educated in universities and colleges and institutes. If you just have good old-fashioned fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, amen. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, amen. If you want instructions in wisdom, amen, then you and I need to be in the Word of God day in and day out on a daily basis. Amen. If you and I want instructions in wisdom, amen, you and I want to know how to be wise, then the Bible says that you and I need to be in the Word of God. It says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So if you fear God, if you generally fear the Lord, then you're going to hate evil. You're going to hate the things of this world. You're going to hate the wickedness. I think of this Satan holiday that's coming up on October 31st, this Halloween, and all the wickedness that goes on. You and I as Christians, it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You and I should not be embracing this Halloween holiday or whatever, Satan's holiday. You and I should hate it because if we have the fear of the Lord, because it's evil, amen. Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Christian, if you go about and you don't have the confidence that you should to live your life, that's because you don't have the fear of the Lord that you have. Because the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Amen. If you fear the Lord, the Bible says that you and I will have strong confidence. In Proverbs 14, verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." So we see then, as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2, it says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments. Amen. That's one of the reasons that the pastor is to teach his people the word of God, is so they'll fear the Lord, have fear of the Lord. Also, we see that fear of the Lord, there's a connection or a promise between prolonged life. And I believe that's physical life. I mean, I think we all want to live to a good old ripe age, amen, as they say. Well, I believe if you fear the Lord, there's a connection with that. It says in our Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2, that thy days may be prolonged. If you fear the Lord, God promises you that your days are going to be prolonged upon this world. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. So I believe that you and I, if we have the fear of the Lord, again, we should have a fear of God because we know what he can do to each and every one of us. We know that he could have sent you and I to spend eternity in the lake of fire, but instead he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for each and every one of us. We should fear the Lord. We should fear the Lord. All right, we see some more instructions concerning God's word as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 3. We see it says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Well, how does this apply to us as Christians today? He says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." Not only are you and I to hear God's words, but we're also, as it says, to observe to do it. Now, observe, to do it means to practice it or put it into play in what you've heard. In other words, it's not any good for you and I to say, even when I go and I hear preaching somewhere else, amen, at a revival or at a camp meeting, or when you come here and you hear the Word of God preach, to hear it and then not put it into play, not to do what the Word of God says. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells you and I, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. There are a lot of Christians out there today, they'll come to church and they'll hear the Word of God, and the pastor will teach them and tell them what they need to do according to the Word of God, and they won't do anything with it. They'll just say, well, that's nice, you know, so what? And they'll go on and live in their life for the world, amen. But our instructions today tell us, hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it. In other words, Christian, you and I are not only to hear the Word of God, but also to observe it, to actually do what God wants us to do what the Word of God says for you and I to do, amen. Then we see, if you and I are obedient to God's Word, then God promises to bless you and I. Look at what it says in verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. Well, what this says is, I believe if you go through the Scriptures, you will see that God blesses obedience. God blesses obedience. When you and I are obedient to Him, He blesses it. There's one tremendous illustration in the Bible that I wanted to show you this morning to bring that point home. God blesses obedience to His Word. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him, that's Jesus, to hear the Word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. What I want you to see here is God blesses obedience to His Word. Here we have a situation where the Lord Jesus Christ comes into Peter's boat and tells him to launch out and to go out. And then He tells Peter, okay, right here, Peter, right on this spot, I want you to drop your net. And of course, Peter looks at our Lord, as he says here, and he says, Lord, we've toiled, we've worked all night, we've fished all night, and we haven't caught a thing. And Peter's probably saying to himself, well, you know, why would the Lord want me to do this? I mean, we worked all night, we haven't caught any fish or anything. But He says, nevertheless, Peter said, at thy word, I will let down the net. See, he was obedient. Even though he had gone through working all night, they had fished all night, they hadn't caught a thing, and he probably thought the Lord was out of his mind, wanting to go out again and drop the net, he said, nevertheless, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Even though sometimes, amen, what the Lord wants you and I to do, because you and I live in a physical body, and we have a finite mind. In other words, there's limits to our mind, amen. See, we can't in the flesh understand the supernatural. And sometimes the things that the Lord tells us to do, we may not physically in our minds be able to comprehend it, and then we try to second guess Him. That's just what Peter did. Peter said, but nevertheless, I'm going to do it. And that's what you and I have to do, is nevertheless, even though it may not seem like it's what we should be doing, amen, we're to do it anyways, because God's, even though it may not make sense, Just like to Peter, I'm sure it didn't make sense to Peter for him to go out again and drop the nets after fishing all night and not catching anything. In the same way with you, even though it may not make sense, common sense, amen, we're to do it anyways because the Lord told us to do it, amen. And we see as a result of that, he did what the Lord did. He dropped his net, we're told. He was obedient to God's word, and we see that he was mightily blessed. They caught so many fishes that his net broke. In fact, there were so many fishes that Peter's boat couldn't handle all the fish. They had to call the other boat over and put some in there, and the boats were so filled, both boats were filled with so many fishes that they just about sank, amen. They just about made it to shore, amen. Superabundance. Superabundance. Peter was blessed, and his blessing spilled upon over on others, amen, on that other boat. That's what you and I have to remember. As children of God, as Christians, if we'll be obedient to God's word, amen. You know, sometimes it may not seem common sense, but if we just be in obedience to the simple things, reading the word of God, you know, each day, praying, coming to church, giving of our tithes and offerings, just the simple things, God has promised, because these are things in his word, if you will do these, that he's going to bless you. And I know today, as I've taught it and I see it in the word of God, that, you know, we read about Israel and they seem to be physically blessed, you know, if they were obedient to the word of God. I believe today that our blessings are more spiritual than physically, but don't get me wrong, I believe God that will also bless you and I physically and material, although that's not his main emphasis, amen. But he'll do that, amen. Then we read on in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Let's go back to Deuteronomy as we're getting some more instructions here. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, thy Lord our God is one Lord." I like it when he says "hear." In other words, listen up. When the word of God says "hear," he says, "Listen up, pay attention to what I'm going to say. There's only one Lord. There's only one God." And that's true to us today as Christians. There is only one God. There is only the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But the problem with you and I sometimes is because we live in the world that we're in, we start serving. Our eyes get off the Lord, and we start serving a bunch of other little gods, be there our job or our family or our hobbies or even the ministries. Our ministry can be a god, amen. You know, sometimes if our heart isn't right and we're not serving God for the right motive, we're busy, we're doing all these things for God, but not with the right heart motive. We have to be careful, amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's who you and I have to remember daily. That's who we serve. That's who saved us, amen, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God, amen. Look what it says in verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6. He says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." This ties in. And verse 5 instructs us that is where our total focus is to be. Our total attention must be placed, amen, on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to love God with our total person, our heart, our soul, and our might. And we know, man, we know that you and I are made up of body, soul, and spirit. And that's how we're to love God, with our body, our soul, and our spirit. If we love God, then as a result, look at verse 6. It says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." See, that's a result. If you love the Lord thy God, amen, all thine heart and with thy soul and with thy might, his words, amen, are going to be in your heart. If we love God like we should be, then his words are going to be in our heart. Now, why should God's words be in our heart? Well, the psalmist wrote over there in Psalm 119. He wrote over there in Psalm 119, in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, if we really love God with our heart and our soul and our mind and our might, amen, then we're going to hide his word. And we're going to, that'll keep us from sinning, amen. If we have God's, if we memorize God's words and we have it in our heart, amen, then we're not going to sin against him. Because every time a temptation comes up and we're tempted to sin, a verse of scripture is going to pop up into our mind. And that Holy Spirit is going to quote that verse of scripture and keep us from sin, amen. Then we see in verse 7, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, it changes a little bit, some more instructions. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The them is the words of God. We see a shift in responsibility. We've been talking last week, we were talking about it was the pastor's responsibility, amen, to teach the people's God's words, one of his main responsibilities. But we see a shift in responsibility now in the teaching of God's words. Now we see that the emphasis is taken off the pastor and put on parents. Okay? We see it's a prime responsibility of the parents, especially the father, to instruct their children in the words of God. You know, Proverbs 22:6, we know it by heart, a lot of us. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Very true. Ephesians 6:4, if ye fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up into the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, yes, you should bring the child to church as soon as you can, as young as you can, amen. But we have to remember the primary responsibility is for the parents. Because that child is only in this church for, when it comes to church, for just a few hours during the week. The rest of the time, that child's at home. And that's really where that child is to be taught the Word of God, primarily, is in the home. Don't get me wrong, you should come in here preaching and teaching, be in Sunday school. But it tells us, it's speaking to the parents, and it's not only saying to teach their children, but also how they're to teach their children. We see that word diligently. Diligently. Diligently means with steady application and care. You know, in other words, each day, give your child a little bit of the Word of God. And the next day, a little bit more, and so forth and so on. But it's to be steady. You know, it's like anything else today. People are not committed to anything anymore. But we need to be committed to the teaching of our children at home. You know, it takes discipline each and every day. Don't let a day go by, an opportunity go by to teach that child something about the Word of God, to be steady, to be committed to it. It's a very important thing. God has given a responsibility to parents to teach their children in the things of the Lord. And we're to do it diligently, steadily, each day, day in and day out, in care. It's a grave responsibility. We're not to take it lightly. Like I said, there should be not a day that goes by without teaching the child about something about the Word of God. And we know, how do children best learn? A child best learns by example. You know, it's not good enough to take them and show them something out of the Word of God and teach them something. Not only do that, but you reinforce it by your example. You know, you may teach them, well, the Bible says in the Word of God that you're to pray every day. So you want to train that child to pray every day. Well, if you're not praying every day, that kid's not going to really, if we're not setting the example of prayer for that child each day, that child's not going to do it. But guess what? If you not only show them in the Word of God where to pray, but you also do it, you reinforce it. And that child's going to grow up and know that I need to pray every day, that I need to talk to God every day. You know, if you show them in the Word of God that they're supposed to be reading their Bibles every day, but they don't see you reading your Bible, all they do is see you and I up watching the TV all day long or doing something else. You know, kids are great that way. They can sniff out a phony and a counterfeit faster than you and I can. That's one thing about a kid. And they can see if you mean it, if you're setting the example. The same way with going to church. If you and I go to church with a happy attitude, we can't wait to get there, amen, after showing them in the Word of God that the Bible says that we're to be in church when the doors are open. But if you go there grudgingly and so forth and so on, they're going to develop, what do I want to go to church for? Look at my parent or my grandmother or my grandfather or my aunt or my uncle, whoever it may be. They hate going to church, amen. Why should I want to go to church? The same way, if they see you after showing them in the Word of God that they need to support the local church, they need to give of their tithes and offerings, amen. If they see you giving cheerfully, then they're going to give cheerfully. They're going to see that this is something they need to do, because not only have you shown them in the Word of God, but you're setting the example also. You're giving. If they see you supporting the pastor and saying kind things about the pastor and trying to support him and build him up, they'll do the same thing. But we need to set the example. Not only show them in the Word of God, but set the example and live that life before them. Same way with me. Now, you know, I get up here every Sunday and teach and I preach, you know, certain things out of the Word of God. And, you know, when we open up the Word of God together as a Christian family here, and I teach you things and I try to guide you things. And how would you feel if you saw me coming out of a bar room staggering? Whew. I tell you, that would probably really hurt you. You know, and you probably wouldn't want to trust me anymore. See, this is what I mean. We got to live, not only teach it and preach it, but we got to live it too, amen. So we see then that it's the parent who is primarily responsible for teaching the child the Word of God, the things of God, amen. You know, it's not the Sunday school teacher, although Sunday school programs for children are very important. It's not the pastor, it's not the Christian school, amen, but it's the parent's responsibility to teach that child. Unfortunately, and I say that unfortunately, it's not being done by the majority of Christians today. They're not doing that. Amen. They're not doing that at all. Then that parent will wonder why that child doesn't get saved, or if that child gets saved, goes astray sometimes. Amen. It's because they haven't done what they're supposed to do. And again, we got to speak generally, because we know there are kids that are brought up in good Christian homes and they're taught the Bible and they set the example and they still go astray. But I believe, like I just read there, that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart of it. That's God's promise. As we get back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see some continuing some instructions, continuing God's word. And these instructions point to the individual's responsibility concerning the Word of God. We read, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto their children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And shalt of them, again, of them the Word of God. More instruction for you and I. We are, when it tells us when we're to talk about it. When are we to talk about the Word of God? It says, when thou sittest in thy house, inside the house, you know, be it the living room, the kitchen, or the dining room, we're to talk about the Word of God. Also, when thou walkest by the way, outside the house, okay, be it at work, or when we're traveling or visiting someone, we're to talk about the Word of God. When thou liest down, inside the home again. When thou risest up inside the home, in the bedroom. Amen. So we see then, if we look at this, the Word of God should be part of all our activity. You know, whatever we do, wherever we go, the Word of God should be constantly on our lips. I'm not saying that you can't talk about anything else but the Word of God. You should, because not everybody enjoys talking about the Word of God, and we want to include them in the conversation, but we should, wherever we go. Should be part of our conversation. Either giving a testimony or praising God for something, but wherever we go, when thou sittest in the house, thou walkest by the way, thou liest down, and thou risest up. That's when we should talk about the Word of God. We see some more instructions concerning the Word of God in verse number 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. More instructions for you and I. Shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand. Well, what I would say to you and I, equivalent, what that could be equivalent of, wherever you and I go, the Word of God should go with us. Amen. You know, there are some things that you and I wouldn't think that we would ever leave the house with. There are just some essential things wherever we go that we have. I know ladies have pocketbooks and you've got everything in it, and there are things that you wouldn't want to leave the house without. Amen. Maybe with me it's my watch or my wallet or my credit card or something. Well, this is what it's talking about. Shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand, the Word of God. In other words, wherever you and I go, we should have the Word of God with us. We should carry it with us. We may not carry the big old study Bible or the Bible that we bring to church on Sunday, but we should get into the habit. And we know there are good and bad habits. The bad habits are hard to break. The good habits are the ones, hard ones to establish. But you and I should get into the habit of carrying the Bible with us, be it a little pocket Bible, a New Testament, or whatever it is. But we should have that Word of God with us wherever we go. Wherever we go. You know, it should be one of those essential things that you wouldn't, you know, you feel lost without it, in other words. I remember the days when I, for some reason, I'll leave the house and I'll have, you know, all my gospel tracts up on the bureau or something and with my pens and everything, and for some reason my attention gets taken away and I forget to put them in the pocket, and I get to work, I'm somewhere, and I'm, oh no, no gospel tracts. I feel like I have no clothes on, really. Seriously. That's how you and I should feel about gospel tracts or the Bible. Wherever you go, it should be with you, and you should have the feeling, if you don't, that you're lost without it. Amen. Then it says, it talks about the Word of God, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes. Well, under the Old Testament law, scribes and the Pharisees, what they used to do was, they used to have a little boxes, and they used to have scriptures written on little scrolls, and they'd put that on the box, and believe it or not, they would tie that box with a band around their forehead, okay? And they would have that with them. They'd walk around with that. That's not what it's, of course, this is the Old Testament. But a spiritual application for you and I is, we should keep that Word of God, okay, like frontlets, before our eyes, okay? I like what it says in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, by the way, is all about the Word of God. I'd encourage you to go through it, study it verse by verse and look at it. But the Psalm 119 talks, that's what all it talks about is the Word of God. Psalm 119 in verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto their path. So just like, you know, under the Old Testament law, that Jew had that little box, amen, with the scriptures in it, amen, in front of them, always before his eyes. That's what you and I should be doing with the Word of God. It should be like a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It should always be before your eyes. It should be always guiding you wherever you go. Whatever decision you and I have to make, we should use the Word of God to help us make that decision. The Word of God should always be before our eyes. Look at some more instructions concerning the Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9. More instructions. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. What does that mean? Should I go stick up some scripture signs on my house? That would be nice, okay. There's nothing wrong about that, amen. If you want to put a sign on your lawn or something. But in a spiritual sense, I look at this. If you think about the post, write them upon the post of thine house. If you think about the post of your house, when I think of posts, period, I think of support. The posts of a house support the house, amen. The foundation, amen, would be your posts, amen. The Word of God is what should support your house and my house, or our homes. That should be what should be girding us up spiritually, amen. Not the things of the world, but the Word of God. Over there on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, verses 24 and following, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, write them upon the post of thy house. Your home and my home should be built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ and his words. And so, when trouble comes, and trouble will come, you know, some it's already come, you know it comes, trials, tribulations in your life. But what this is saying is, if your home and my home is supported by the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what our foundation is on, that's what the post of the house is on, in the Word of God, then we're going to be able to go through those storms. Our home is going to be standing. Amen. Our home is going to be standing. We see how quickly, I think of a good illustration Jesus said about those that don't, are not founded upon a rock, are founded upon sand. Just look at the homes that we saw, the graphic detail of the homes, because of all this water we got this past week. Some of them were just literally swept off their foundations. Amen. Same thing with people that don't have the Lord. Don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have the Word of God. Amen. Don't have their home built upon it. When trial and tribulation comes, their home is shattered. Amen. We see it, unfortunately, end some time in child abuse or suicide or whatever it may be. It's because they didn't have the Word of God upon the posts of their house. Amen. We even see Christians today going through things that they don't have to go through. If only they're home, you know, they're saved, they're born again, but really Christ isn't the center of their life. The Word of God isn't really the center of their life. So in a lot of times when trials and troubles come, they act like people that are unsaved. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to handle it. Amen. Look at also in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thou shalt write them upon thy post of thy house and on thy gates. Now, what about the gates? Well, to me, a gate, which is attached to probably a fence a lot of times, if you have a gate, is for protection, to keep out the intruder, all right? That gate keeps away the intruder. The Word of God can protect your home. It can protect your home from wolves and sheep clothing. It can protect you and your family, you know, from people that say nice things, you know, but don't meet them. You know, Jesus warned in that same chapter, Matthew 7, about, he said in Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Yea, shall you know them by their fruits? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So with the Word of God, you will know the false prophets. You will protect your home and your family. You know, a lot of people get saved, the cults come in and they take them and they get involved in the cults, and they never do get grounded in the Word of God. That's why we need to write the Word of God on our gates. We need to protect our home with the Word of God. That's what it's for, to support the home and to protect it. We can keep these false prophets, these sheep in wolves' clothing, away from our family. Amen. We can protect the home with the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. Amen. I I'm going to stop right here. This is the second part of our... I'm going to finish it up next week. I've got much more to look at, the production or the results of following God's word, and also some more instructions for us, and then finally the destruction if we don't follow it. But we've seen here clearly this morning in Deuteronomy that God gives us some wonderful instructions. We started last week, and we talked about how it's my responsibility of the pastor to teach you, amen, the word of God, to guide, and so you know how to live your life, so God will bless you, so you'll be obedient to God, amen. Then we also saw, if we're obedient to God, God will bless us abundantly, I believe. God will always bless obedience. God will always bless obedience. We saw in our illustration this morning how he blessed Peter for doing what he said, going out even though he worked all night and dropping the nets, amen. Same thing. You'll be obedient to him, he will bless you. Then we saw how it's the parents' responsibility to teach their children the word of God diligently, steadily, with care, each and every day, day in and day out. And to also not only teach them, but to set the example for them. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility if you're parents. Then we saw individually our responsibility is to talk about it. That word of God, when we get up, when we walk, when we talk, when we sit, when we lie down at night, when we go by the way, the word of God is to be the topic of our conversation. Amen. That's to be foremost in our mind. And then we saw that we're to carry that word of God with us, we're to bind it on our hand, we're to have it always before our eyes, and we're to support and protect our home with the word of God. Again, I pray this morning that as we saw these things together out of God's word, that you'll take them, that you'll learn from them, that you'll be obedient from them. Amen. And me too. That goes for me too. I don't get off the hook. I have to take what God has shown me from this study, from the word of God in Deuteronomy, and you also, and we're to take it back and to apply it to our lives. And if we'll do that, amen, as we saw, we talked about it a little bit, if we'll do that, I believe not only if we have that fear of the Lord, of what his judgment and what will happen to us, again, he'll prolongeth our days. All of these things are for our benefits, for our edification, for our building up in things in the Lord, for us to have a better life here until he returns for us, amen. I pray, it's my prayer, that each and every one of us here this morning, including myself, will take what God has given us from the word of God and just put it into play. As he said, to observe, to do it. That we will observe to do it. Not only hear it, but to do it. I pray that's what you'll pray this morning. That you'll not only hear it, but you'll also do it. Not only be a hearer of the word, but also the doer of the word. Amen. I pray, if anything is spoken to your heart, the Holy Spirit may say, you need to come, kneel at the altar, that's fine. If not, that's fine too. Whatever God has laid on your heart, not what I've said or anything, but what has God laid on your heart this morning. If you have a need, we have the altar here for you to pray. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God this morning. We just pray that we would learn and take these words from this morning's message, from our study, Father, and pray, apply them to our lives. I pray if we're grandparents or have children under us, grandchildren, whatever it may be, that we would teach our children diligently in the word of God and to set that example for them. Father, we just pray, help us to be obedient to thy word, because we know that if we're obedient to your word, Lord, that you'll bless us and bless us abundantly. Father, help us to observe to do it, not only hear it, but to observe to do it, not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Father, now, as we come to our closing song of invitation, we ask you to have your will in your way, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.